Welcome back. It's Game Day Greenville. Thanks for waiting. It's Shane, Andy, and Raffy back in the studio recording. We're sorry about the long wait. What happened over Christmas break?
We got tied up, we sucked, and we dropped the ball.
Definitely. It was definitely unfortunate. It was a lot of stuff that we all had going on personally. Andy and I both had work. Raffy got a job. And so we all just kind of got tied up, and it's not going to happen again. That's the longest break that we're going to have, and 2019 brings new promises to Game Day Greenville. More consistent recording, and just a whole lot of fun, not just sports. Obviously, we mentioned that in the last one. Got a lot of feedback from people, and it was actually awesome. Like, we actually met a couple times over break to talk about podcasting and how we can make it better. And we got some good ideas, and that includes more consistent recording. But, you know, now that we've apologized and gotten the awkward part out of the way, I was with you a lot, but you want to tell everyone what you did over break?
Work. Oh, I'm sorry, was I supposed to make something up too? Yeah. It was a lot of work. Family, obviously, you know, everyone had the holidays, the break. Everyone had the holidays and everything with family. But it really was just hanging out with you guys, work, then the pups. But it was great stuff. I mean, I can't complain, but it was just really busy. It seemed like time dragged.
It did, because, I mean, we worked every day. Like, when I say we worked every day, like, you know, Sunday through Saturday, we worked every day. And then when we weren't working, we were doing something else with family or with other, like, you know, when I say other people, like other close friends or whatever, doing things for other people. So, I mean, it was just all around busy, and it honestly felt like nonstop, though.
Yeah.
But, like, the most unfortunate part is that Christmas break, like, I mean, because I'm still in school, like, Christmas break just flew by. And I think that was the fastest Christmas break that I mean, obviously, it's the same amount of time, but I mean, like, it felt like the fastest that I had ever had.
I guess it's because every day was, like, had something to do with, so it wasn't like you were just at home every day.
Yeah.
You know, where it felt like everything was repeating. It was more like, oh, what's going to be today? Oh, I got work. Oh, I got this. Oh, I got this. Oh, hey, there's Andy.
Yeah. Yes. But, I mean, and we mainly saw each other, like, later at night when we would, like, when all the bigger sports games were on, because, mm-hmm. I mean, it was bowl season. And then, I mean, I know probably no one watches the World Juniors, but it's the IIHF World Junior Championship for hockey out in Vancouver, where all the up-and-coming NHL, like, 17 mm-hmm. and 18-year-olds play. And I'm on that every year. After Christmas, it's IIHF season for me, and it's like 2 weeks of just straight hockey. And I binge that every night after work. So, I mean, it was a lot of fun. but, I mean, Christmas break was great because I got to work and make a lot of money. We also got to watch a ton of sports. The most depressing game by far for me was UCF lost the Fiesta Bowl, and the Gators got blown out.
What are you talking about? Got blown out? We blew Michigan out.
That's right.
Yeah, put your hand on yourself, dog.
No, I'm. Touch me. That's five. Because
try to make me join your busy party.
That's totally wrong. Because I mean, the other day, there's a bunch of Michigan fans in my class, and we were talking about it, and then someone had said, they're like, yeah, Florida got blown out, and we all, like, looked at him, and so that was why it was in my head. Yeah. But no, Michigan got blown out, which was a shock, because...
Came down to play a real SEC team.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, I mean...
Oh, so did UCF.
Yeah, shut up. But, no, it was a great time for sports, and I had a blast, you know, and... It was great because, I mean, I got to talk about sports a lot at work and got reprimanded for it because I focus on that too much, apparently. Sport management major, so what else do you expect? But, no. Anything else exciting for you? Or for you, Raf? Anything exciting for you? I mean,
I started at work. And it's
there you
awesome,
go.
Man. It's yeah. Really good. Besides the job thing, because it's more of a side thing right now that I'm interested in. I got a really good gift from both of them right here. I'm a Packer fan, and both of them just decided to do Packer-themed gifts. I felt like a bro, even though we are bros.
Listen, thanks, bro.
It was a bro moment within a bro moment.
Holy bro.
Yes.
That was like broception. Bro with a bro to the bro power. Holy cow.
But no, so we each got Raph. I got him a Packers. It's like awesome. Like, it's clean. It is a Packers beanie. And it looks like the one. It's like the one. I mean, obviously he had a San Diego Chargers one. But if anyone watched the LA Chargers play today, it was like the exact one that Phillip Rivers had on, but it was a Packers one. It was awesome. Super like nice and
it's clean.
Like it's beautiful. And then Andy got him a Packers flag to go over.
It's like a Packers themed American flag for his room set.
And it was just sweet.
It's huge.
But I mean, I think we all got each other like awesome gifts. I mean, Raph, we game together. We play Madden and, you know, NHL and, you know, Red Dead Redemption and whatever all together. Raph got me a gaming headset, and then I got Andy a Florida Gators hoodie, and he rocks that all the time. And then Andy got me, actually, I'm a huge coffee drinker, for those of you who don't know, and Andy got me a huge Yeti American flag themed coffee mug. So I...
Always, bro.
Always, bro.
Bro.
So I mean, overall, great Christmas break, super busy, and so again, we all just kind of apologize for that. I mean, it took the wind out of our sails because we knew that, you know, we were kind of on a roll, at least we felt like with podcasting. You know, Andy had actually talked to a few of his friends and other people that he's met, and I mean, there's this one girl, right? You said that she went and she's just a good friend of yours, and she said that she actually showed her whole family, and they loved it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool about that.
Yeah, and I got to meet people who had listened to it for the first time, and people that I had met at the coffee shop, and they loved it. And you know, it means a lot when you know, you're sitting here and you're trying to put out content, and you're just trying to make something. You know, it's not like we're asking to get paid. I mean, it would be nice in the future, but I mean, to be able to put out content that you're having fun putting out, and then people come and tell you that they like what you're putting out, it means the absolute world. Because, like, I don't know how many of you have ever tried to do this before, but, like, you kind of get insecure about it, like, about your own voice, or even, like, how, you know, you kind of jive with everyone on the podcast, how the chemistry is. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. Like, how is the voice quality? How do we all sound? Is it, like, together? Am I talking more than one other person kind of thing? And, you know, when people come to you and they tell you that they like what you're doing, it means so much as, like, just personally. Not even, like, oh, great, we're doing great on the podcast. But, like, you know, you guys are doing things well. Like, we've seen your chemistry, like, on from episode one. And then now this is episode six. And it's, like, you guys are doing, like, fantastic. Like, you know, you guys aren't there yet. But, I mean, you're making strides to becoming better chemistry-wise and whatnot, and it feels great.
Yeah, it's just a process. I mean, you know, it's gonna suck. I think no matter what, every episode's gonna suck to each one of us.
Definitely.
It's not gonna be like, oh my god, we're freaking amazing. It's gonna be like, dude, our voices suck. The quality sucks. The editing sucks. Like, there's never gonna be. I personally don't think there's ever gonna be like that. Holy crap, pride. Yeah. I mean, it's just gonna be based on growing.
I mean, especially because we even this break. There was one day. We all got together and we hung out in my room, and we listened to local podcasts. Brooke, fantastic voice quality, like it's amazing. She uses a Blue Yeti. I like the quality. It's almost. I've talked to Brooke in real life at a Swamp Rabbits game, and like the quality of the mic through her podcast, and then the quality, like it's almost like you're there. And so Brooke had a fantastic podcast. We were listening to a few other local ones that was just, it was great. I mean,
there's obviously a lot of local stuff. Actually, we were surprised with the amount of local stuff. We thought it was
slim pickings, yeah. Honestly.
But there's a few communities. I think, what was it? The sports culture is a big one.
Yep.
So it was cool listening to a few of them.
And by no means is it like competition either, because it's like, you know, I mean, we're still kind of upcoming. I mean, we kind of slacked.
If anything, we're like the rookies of everything.
Yeah, but I mean, it was cool because you get to see what other people do, and like seeing what other locals do and how they talk about the community and how they talk about Clemson, which is coming up here in a minute because that was a great game against Alabama.
Finally.
But like, it was just, it was fantastic to be able to go and listen to other people do what they do. And honestly, you know what? Like, what I like about Brooks was that hers was very, like, short and to the point. And it was very informational. And I liked it. Like 5 minutes, and it was like a little audio blip. And I liked it. I liked it a lot. And the sound quality, the music that she had, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it was great to be able to go and then see what other people were doing. And then just kind of be like, you know, how can we make this ours? And then, you know, not it's not competition at all, because we like to learn from other people, and then hopefully one day we can be those people that people try to pull and learn from. But I mean, the bowl game, I mean, championship game. How about Clemson, Alabama?
So I am in no means near Bama fan. Like, obviously, you know, SEC football, they're the big bad wolf of the league and all of college football. I mean, they're great players, but at the end of the day, everyone was tired of seeing Bama. And then for Clemson, especially being the hometown team here, for seeing them just come in, strap up, and just play their hearts out, and not just play hard, but shut them down, they made Alabama look like an unranked team.
They did.
That was amazing. I mean, I don't think I've ever screamed more for a team other than Florida, but, I mean... It looked like a movie.
We all sat in my living room and watched it together. Raffy, Andy, myself, my dad, and my sister. We all watched it together, and I mean, like, honestly, it. I mean, for those hockey fans out there, or even soccer fans, or whatever, every time, like, it's like when that one star player had the ball. It's like you feel or puck or whatever. Every time. Trevor Lawrence had the football, it's like something great is going to happen, or it's like, it's almost like that movie, you feel it like leading up, and you're like, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, like, I just felt like one giant highlight reel.
Yeah, like watching Trevor Lawrence, his grace, and like with the ball, like he was just, like he has so much confidence for being a freshman, it's insane. And I look back to I'm a junior in college, and like knowing that he's a freshman, he's 2 years younger than me, like I'm like, man, like he's got confidence, like he's going to be like great talent. Mm-hmm. And then listening to a radio station back this summer, back when he was kind of a nobody, because I mean he was just kind of going on the team. I mean, you know, you're somebody because you're signing with Clemson.
I say it's a pretty big deal, but, even in high school.
But I mean, like, what I meant by nobody was he hadn't really proven anything with college yet. But I mean, like, to kind of go and sign on, like Dabo Swinney was saying that he, as a freshman, was more built and more ready than Deshaun Watson was his freshman year. And like hearing that from Coach Dabo, high praise and high compliment. Oh my God, yeah. And it just kind of shows that, I mean, it was kind of funny because we all kind of got cracked up when he said this, as he wanted to be at Clemson for 3 more years. And I mean, I think he could even get in the draft junior year. I mean, shoot, I mean.
Yeah, I think obviously, you know, he probably is going to be smart and take everyone's advice, build that resume up so he can be, you know, ensure he's the number one pick, but no matter what, he's NFL ready. I mean, probably not obviously this year, but next year, once he gets back, he's on.
And it was a blast watching him. Like, it was...
I think it was more enjoyable just watching Bama scramble to figure out what's going on. I really think that's everyone's main enjoyment is... Sorry if you're a Bama fan, but...
I mean, it's not... See, for me, it's not even just so much that I hate Alabama. I just like to see new competition win. And it goes like that for any sport. Like, I give, and I don't, as a person, I kind of question this, but, like, Tom Brady is an incredible NFL football player. There's absolutely no doubt about it. But I just get sick and tired of seeing the same team win over and over and over.
What kills me is every year, like, the last few years, you know, Patriots, they make you think, oh, man, they're not a Super Bowl team. And then all of a sudden, playoffs come and look what they do.
Yeah. I mean, they just destroy the Chargers.
It's like
today.
A new team. I hate it.
And it's like, I just want to see a new team. That's it. Like, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. And,
that's not happening.
And where were the Steelers?
Yeah, that's cool.
But, so I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, and I just, you know, they've only had two playoff wins in the last 10 years, and that's a little rough. But, I mean, even if, I mean, I really want to see the Browns take it to the top with Baker Mayfield.
Oh, my gosh, yes. That's like the Cinderella story.
And I just want to see new. My dad and I call it new blood. We want to see new blood in the Super Bowl. That's what we want. I mean, and it's even like that in the NHL. I mean, it seems like in the last like 10 years, it's been nothing but dynasties. Even like 15 years, because I mean, you had Detroit, Detroit, it felt like, and then it was LA, LA, and then Chicago, Boston, Chicago, and then it was Pittsburgh, like, what? Lately, just absolutely just destroying everything. Andy's a bandwagon Pittsburgh fan.
Oh, whatever, so. Get out of here.
So, but I mean, it's incredible, like, to see these dynasty teams and what they can accomplish, and it's kind of a legacy. I mean,
yeah, it's like, I mean, you look at it, you see, you know, when someone says, who do you expect to win the World Series? Everyone always goes for Boston, Yankees. You never really hear, oh, I think the Marlins are going to win. So when you actually see a team that's small, underdog, like when Houston went up and won it, that was amazing. You know, when you see a different team that you don't expect throughout the whole season, yes, the Chicago Cubs draft. He's a huge fan, or somewhat, whatever. But when you see that happen, you're like, oh, refreshing. It's just like a fresh glass of water. You weren't expecting it, but it just happens, and everyone enjoys it, even if you're not rooting for the team.
I mean, that was one of the reasons that, I mean, I don't watch a lot of baseball, and I actually want to get better about it, just because, I mean, it's something new to get into. I mean, and my main sports are hockey and football, and those go on at the same exact time, and obviously football's done in February, but I mean, I really want to get into something. When I mean get into it, like, I want to be able to go and watch the Braves and the Nats play, and I want to be able to know all the players. Like, if I watch football, it's like I know the majority of the players on the field for both teams. If I watch hockey, like, I know pretty much every player on every team, and I know what's going on, who's where, who's injured, stuff like that. Like, I want to be able to kind of do that for baseball. But I mean, when the Cubs went to the World Series in 2016, like, I wanted them to win, because I mean, it's like they haven't won in, you know, forever. I think it was like, was it like 100 and something?
Yeah,
it was, I thought it was like a super long time. And it's just refreshing to get that new blood in there. And kind of going, you know, reversing back to the whole Bama thing, is it's like, obviously Nick Saban has created a legacy, you know, with Alabama. And he has done a tremendous job with that athletic program. But it's like, you just want to see new teams. And it was refreshing, even though Clemson won, you know, before. It was just refreshing seeing it again and seeing how happy those
especially
seniors
with
were.
Everyone putting Clemson down. I mean, obviously, if you're in Clemson or in upstate Carolina, it's like, you know, you're going to root for them. But the whole world, I mean, Vegas was like, crap. You know, everyone was putting their bets right on Alabama, the safe bet, Alabama, Alabama, Alabama. All the odds were stacked up, and then, boom, Clemson said, nah, fam. And they did their job. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it really does get me excited. That's probably one of the best championship games in a lot in terms of just offensive played.
Honestly, like, because we live here in upstate, you know, South Carolina, it is hard to not like Clemson. And it has nothing to do with the people around you because, I mean, no matter where you go, there's diehard fans everywhere. Yeah. I mean, when I lived in, you know, Virginia, there were, like, diehard, you know, Hokies fans, and then, you know, there's diehard Terps fans because we were near Maryland, and it's like, you know, those teams don't really have an impact on you because, I mean, it didn't really matter. I mean, I'm a Cowboys fan, and there are Redskins fans everywhere, and it's great to see people be diehard for their team, especially when their team is, you know, consistently not putting up the numbers or points that you want them to.
Shout out to every real Browns fan. Like, your time is coming. Hang in there. Put the rope away.
But,
wow.
But, I mean, it's great to see. It's hard to not like Clemson when you have a guy like Dabo running the program and when you know people who've gone and worked for them or people that I've associated with or that you associated with that go there. And it's just a great program being built up around, and it's an entire community, an entire, like, honestly, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say an entire state because, I mean, the Gamecocks are pretty big around here too. But, I mean, it's like, it's hard to not root for them when they have a guy and a leader like Dabo Swinney, who's the face of the program. And, I mean, he's just right here on our back door. So, I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, I mean, it really does help that, especially with him being so involved in the community too. I mean, with local companies, charities. I mean, it's a team.
Well, I mean,
that
you've met him.
Makes it really easy. And yeah, he's came by my job. So it's really cool, and it makes it really hard, honestly, to not root for them. It makes you feel guilty.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's that father effect.
So, other than that, was there any other than the championship game? was there any game that stuck out to you over break, whether it's hockey or football?
Rabbits lost 10-4.
That didn't happen over break, but
well, it still happened.
But actually, something big did happen over break with the Rabbits. John O'May, Rookie of the Year in the ECHL, he actually, I mean, he got signed to a professional PTO with the San Diego Gulls, which is the AHL affiliate to the Anaheim Ducks. And so he impressed the AHL enough to get recognized. And he got signed to a professional tryout with the Gulls, and unfortunately he got cut. But that doesn't mean anything because, I mean, he's still a rookie in the ECHL, and he's killing it this year. He's getting noticed. I mean, I see him on Twitter all the time, not just for the Swamp Rabbits, but for the ECHL.
Yeah, player of the week.
And it's insane to see someone so, like, I mean, he's not terribly, young. I mean, he's 24, 25, something like that. And, I mean, to be his first year in the ECHL and to get recognized like that immediately, I mean, to get cut, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It might not just be his time, because I've watched him play, you know, and I thoroughly enjoyed watching him at Swamp Rabbits games. Mm-hmm. And as long as they have him on the roster, it's going to be fantastic for them. But, I mean, he got recognized, and that's it.
There's an eye on him.
Eye. And that doesn't go away because, I mean, if he's continuous and he keeps producing and he keeps putting up points and he's consistent, he's going to keep getting recognized. And then he's going to make that jump. And then, you know what? All it takes is good performance. And that can be hard because, you know, you're at a new level. And I remember personally the first time that I ever – because I grew up playing single-A hockey, which is like, you know, basic travel. And then I remember when – you know, we played as a team, we all grew up together. We made that jump to double A, and I can't tell you, like, how incredibly fast, much faster single A, I mean, double A was than single A. And, I mean, just imagine a whole league up. Mm-hmm. You know, you go from ECHL.
Well, yeah, you're pretty much going from being the top player of what you're doing to now being Joe Schmo. Everyone's playing at an already high intensity where, I mean, that probably shocks someone. I mean,
some of these guys that are in the AHL, they're regulars in the NHL. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, if you got some guy that's always injured, I mean, just for the Ducks, I mean, just because we're talking about the Gulls, for the Ducks, Patrick Eves, mm-hmm. a player, he's a winger for the Ducks, great veteran, he's amazing, great hockey player. Patrick Eves got injured, and then that guy, I forgot who replaced him. But he went on injured reserve because he actually contracted a disease for his nerves. But a player has to go replace him. And so, you know, whenever there's an injury, you know, you either get a scratch to replace the injured player or you have a call-up from the AHL to go replace these guys. And John O'May could be one of those people if he's consistent. And, you know, I was a little discouraged when he got released from his PTO, but then you just kind of have to think, yeah, it sucks that it didn't happen the first time, but now there's an eye. And the cool thing is about the Swamp Rabbits, and I believe we've mentioned this in past episodes, they are an independent organization. They're no longer affiliated with the Rangers. Mm-hmm. They are an independent organization, which means
fair game for
the players that are to be called up are fair game for every single AHL team and organization within the entire, like, within the country. Mm-hmm. And, well, not even just because it's Canadian, too. You know, every single, well, AHL, American Hockey League, so I'm sorry. But it's for every single team within the country. And then those, they get to be signed, and then, you know, sometimes they get signed to a PTO, or sometimes they just get called up, and then they just play. There's no PTO. When they wanted a PTO, they wanted to sign into a contract. Not call up for a game and then go back down. Yeah, because that's what happened to Hal.
It's going to be, yeah, love that boy, boy. But love that boy, boy. Wow. Like, boo, boo. But no, it's just going to be time, patience, and effort. I mean, think about it. Rookie season, he's killing it. Just imagine once he gets on top of it, trains even harder, it's going to be a monster, and sooner or later we'll see him in the NHL.
I mean, I honestly think it would be awesome because, I mean, there are players who, I mean, Kurt Warner was in the Arena Football League. He was in the AFL, and he made that jump, which is a drastic jump. He was in the Arena Football League where the boundary is a little bit more enclosed in. It's a shorter field, yep. And he made the jump from the AFL to the NFL, and he was a stellar quarterback. stellar. And then, you know, you got guys. I mean, ECHL, still same parameters, same, you know, dimensions for the rink and everything. But to make that jump, I mean, that's just legendary. I mean, even if you're a third or fourth line, you know, grinder or playmaker, you're still important, and that's a role that you fulfill on the team. And it's not – third and fourth liners aren't scrubs. They're still people who put in work and effort on the team, and they make a difference because they may not be scoring goals, but they make a lot of defensive plays, or they set up –
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so whether he's doing that, he's a third or fourth line center.
The team can't run on just one person.
So, well, I mean, like they said in Miracle, you can't rely on talent alone. Mm-hmm. It takes a full team. And that was said by Herb Brooks, and that kind of stuck with me as I watched that movie. But, I mean, it applies to everything. You go to business, to a sports team. You can't rely on just one person. It takes the entire entity, the whole team, to really make a difference. And, I mean, it's incredible. I honestly look forward to seeing what continues to happen.
Yeah, big game coming up the 19th.
Isn't that the Stick It to Cancer? Yeah, I mean, that.
I believe so. I don't know if we'll win that one.
Well, their Stick It to Cancer game every year is, it's first of all, it's jam packed. Second of all, the jerseys are sweet every year, because they do the special jersey. They do the and just to be clear, I'm not sure that the Stick It to Cancer is on the 19th. I know it's around this time every single year, and it's an amazing game every single time, because unfortunately there are people that we lose to cancer every year. There are people that, you know, survive, and their miraculous recoveries, and it's just kind of like a cancer awareness kind of thing, and because it's a big deal, and, you know, just the atmosphere, they I mean, it's almost like the Heroes Night. They recognize heroes, I mean, and then this one, you know, you recognize cancer survivors and you promote cancer awareness, because it's something that people are still trying to find a cure for. But I mean, aside from that, it's always a packed game. It's absolutely a blast. Like, people all around the ring, and I've been to the last two, and they've both been, like, if they're not sellout, like, they're at least, you know, just jam packed, and it's so much fun.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just something that's really special to the community. I mean, even over break they had the teddy bear toss. You saw that?
Teddy bear toss, they killed it.
Teddy bear toss was insane. But I mean, that's one thing that the Swamp Rabbits do offer that is just absolutely amazing, is just, you know, the fan experience is, you know, next to none. And being able to go and kind of get to be a part of their games as a fan, a spectator, a player, a coach, I mean, for a lot of people that's a big deal. And
yeah, I mean, great. It's awesome just to see a crowd, see a community all get together and support a great cause, and the players feed off of it too. I mean, it's awesome. They definitely perform way harder than typically they would, just because, you know, there's something to it. Not saying that other games, you know, there's no meaning. It's just go out there and play. But when you have the crowd supporting a cause, it kind of just pumps you up.
And it's in your home arena. Yep. It's a big deal. And this is not kind of, you know, taking shots at anyone, but that's one thing that the Swamp Rabbits are trying to do as an organization, is they're trying to bring more people, because, you know, I mean, on a weeknight, I mean, you struggle to get attendance. And it's like that in, you know, it's like that in the NHL too, or, you know, it's hard to get attendance in even the NBA. Like, on weeknights, especially for weaker teams who don't have that great of a record, it's hard to come out on a you know, a Wednesday or a Thursday night. You know, they've struggled to get attendance. But, I mean, especially when you aren't used to that just jam-packed atmosphere, and then all of a sudden, you know, you have, like, a Stick It to Cancer or a promotional game, it's like, wow, to the players. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, kind of a culture shock. But, I mean, you've been there before. But, I mean, I remember the first time that I played in front of a big crowd. And I played at the University of Colorado.
Yeah.
And then I played at the Olympic Center, and just the crowd in Colorado Springs was, I mean, being in a big, big arena and being able to play there was just unbelievable. And, you know, as a player, as a kid, that means a lot to you. But,
so, I mean, kind of like swap it up, you know, obviously we're going to bring up the Triumph, and the game opener is April 6th. It's going to be exciting.
That's the home opener. Yep. The very first game, actually, I was talking to one of the employees at the Greenville Triumph. The very first game, because it's a brand new league, the very first game is actually the Triumph get to participate in it. I forget the date of the first game, but the Triumph get to participate in the very first game in the entire league. Yeah. And it's in Georgia. Don't remember where. It was a town I'd never heard of. But, I mean, to be able to go and participate in the first league game, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and then they just signed Tyler Pollock, so everyone's really excited on that one. He's a defender. Once they announced that first player signed, Twitter went wild with the Reedy River, with all the fans. I mean, it was blowing up. And then Jake Keegan?
It's Jake, because I tweeted them. Jake from State Farm.
So they signed him. So, yeah, Jake Keegan, another player. He's a forward. They signed him. So two big signings. They're all excited. He's from out of the country. So I guess it's the first time he's been back since, I think he said college in the interview. But it's really exciting, and the community, you know, they do a great job, because everyone was finally like getting really antsy, like, when are you guys going to announce a player? When are you going to announce a player? Look, April's coming, season's coming, May, everything, and then just boop, and they did it again. They just dropped it, got the excitement right back up, and the interaction, insane.
Well, I can't wait, especially because, like I said, I've never been to a soccer game before, and I'm very excited for this. You know, kind of like just a little personal news. I got... asked to be their game day and event day intern, and I can't wait because I get to actually go work there, and my first soccer game is going to be, like, I'll be working it, and I'll be helping out the team, and I can't be more excited. But, I mean, you know, to go see the game at Legacy Early College, it's going to be special because, like I said, you know, I was driving over break. I was driving to work, and I saw Greenville Triumph stickers on the back of someone's car. And they may have been an employee, because they actually turned right into downtown. It was weird because we had like the same route to downtown. It was kind of funny, but like seeing Greenville Triumph stickers on the back of cars, and like hearing and seeing how many soccer fans are in the community, like it just kind of gets you revved up, because it's a new thing. It's new to the town. It's new to the people, like, you know, players like Tyler Pollock and Jake Keaton. And it's new to these guys. It's brand new to the community, and you know, you're really hoping that this is. It's not just like a, you know, the excitement isn't just because of anticipation for the new team, but it's just because soccer is in Greenville.
And that's where I guess the Reedy River Riot come in. You know, being a support group. You know, obviously it's going to be the Triumph's job to keep their fans engaged. But then you have a strong support group. I mean, that's one of the best interactive support groups. I'm talking about in any sport I've seen, pro. I mean, you talk about, you know, when you're a kid, you go to those T-ball games, and you see those parents just like, yeah! That's the Reedy River Riot. I mean, they are just in your face. Not in a bad way, but just pumping you up, exciting you, interacting. It's as if they're the support. Obviously, they're the support, but whenever the Triumph can't reply to something, guess who's there instantly?
The Reedy River. Reedy River.
And they'll answer questions. And a lot of people think that they're part of the Triumph.
And they're not.
Yeah, they're just support, and they're amazing. And, I mean, we love them. I mean, it's a big family, and I mean, we wouldn't be where we were without them.
Honestly, because, I mean, they retweet and like our stuff. And I know one of them. I know their social media manager, Jonathan Anderson. He's awesome, and you know, when I say that someone, I worked with his sister, when I say that there's a family that's passionate about soccer, it is definitely the Anderson family, and it's awesome to see how much they want to be a part and involved in this undertaking, in this community kind of thing, you know, with this soccer team. I mean, they were hardcore soccer fans before. I mean, they're big Atlanta United fans. Jonathan was always talking about going to games and stuff. I mean, and then as soon as FSEs came out for the Triumph, Jonathan went and bought, you know, full season tickets. He went and he's just a hardcore fan. He's got the scarf. I mean, he's got like merch. And you know what? I mean, that one person alone, I can't imagine the whole squad of Reedy River Riot. And big thank you to Jonathan, because I know you guys listen for the stickers today.
Thank you. That's awesome. That cheered us up.
They are just an incredible support group for this amazing, amazing team. And you know what? Like they're not just supporting the team, but they're supporting the motives of the team. And one of those motives is actually you know, getting the team involved in the community. And that is one thing that they really kind of preached in the internship interview with me, is that they really want to be involved and invested in, you know, rooted in the community, and that's something that is very important to the ownership group for the Greenville Triumph is community involvement. Yeah. And that's actually one of my assignments as an intern is to come up with a way to promote the team and a way to promote the Greenville Triumph and get them rooted and invested in the community. So if anyone has any ideas of how to get rooted and invested in a community and you're listening, I will DM me on Twitter, DM the Game Day Greenville Twitter page, because I want to sit down and I really not just myself for the internship purposes, but as a podcast, we already talked to Anderson, Brock, and seeing people like that who want to make a difference in the community, who want to not just see soccer be played, but see these players and see these organizations make a difference within the community, that is what makes a difference, especially a kind of little big town like Greenville. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's something special that's definitely happening and kind of, brewing and stirring within the community, just the whole soccer team.
It's growing. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be new. Top Golf. Awesome. You can see it building up to that. I mean, that's bringing up a lot of excitement. That's going to bring in a lot more people to also visit Greenville because, there's not really other Top Golfs, and, Greenville's also a big golf community, the Pro Amp and everything that gets hosted here. So that's going to be fun, too. I mean, Greenville's just growing with sports. All we need next is an arena football league, and I think we're set.
Speaking of football, there's that new football league. I honestly forget. Let me Google it here. It's called the Alliance of American Football. So it is a brand new football league that is literally starting, and it takes the very first game takes place a week after the Super Bowl. So I literally just learned about this today, so I have no information on it other than the fact that there's 8 teams, I happen to remember just a few. One of them is from Orlando. Another one's from Memphis. There's another team from San Antonio, and that's all that comes to mind. But a brand new league, that's insane. Because then, if you think the XFL is supposed to be a thing too, so that's 3 football leagues that are supposed to be televised. And because CBS has taken over the Alliance of American Football. So I mean, it's
all year long, man.
It's like. There's football all year long. I mean, I might not even get into baseball if that's the case. I'm kidding. But, I mean, I don't know. Sports, if it says anything, it's just that sports is growing. Not just here in the community, I mean, because there's no football team here. But, I mean, just the fact, I mean, other than Clemson, college teams, there's no pro team.
So you know what that means, right? Just drop out of school. You have a higher chance now of playing professional sports. It's okay, right?
Dude, I'll be a backup kicker and still be better than Cody Parkey.
I'm just kidding.
Man, he took it like a champ. All right, Cody Parkey is the real MVP of the season. Okay,
the ball was tipped. I saw the replay. The ball was tipped, and it was ruled by the NFL that it was a tip. But continue with your spiel.
So pretty much, obviously, I think everyone in Chicago hated him unanimously. The crime rate dropped for tonight, and everyone said, look, this is the guy we hate. Let's all be friends here. So he not only unified a city, but he also came out like a man and said, there's no excuse. Laces were perfect. There was no win. I messed up, and I should just use that as a learning curve. I let my team down, but at the end of the day, it's the past. I'm sorry, and I can only grow from there.
Sorry doesn't get you a new contract. Well, then. No, but he really did own up to it like a man. But honestly, I think this should take a little bit of the heat off of him, is that it was tipped. And you know what? There were a lot of fans that booed him and hated on him. And, I've been there where, when I say I've been there, as a fan, it sucks when your team loses. Because, when you're as invested.
All the teams you support.
Swamp Rabbits.
10-4.
So, I mean.
It was to a Florida team.
So, well, I mean, Jags, Dallas Cowboys, Dallas Stars. I've never,
you should not be a Triumph fan.
Then maybe I shouldn't, because no. I want them to be successful. But I mean, no. Yeah, just to put it out there, other than UCF winning a bowl game. I have never, like, every team that I have supported has never won a championship while I've been alive. So
the second he dies, like back to back to back in every sport.
The Dallas Stars won a cup in '99. But I mean, I was 2 years old, so I mean, I became a fan.
I remember that later. Game right from the crib.
But I mean, so Stars won a cup in '99, but then Cowboys haven't won. The Jags have never won. So I mean, it's kind of depressing. Don't talk about that game. So the Jags versus the Patriots last year. Like, I think, because I am totally anti-Pats. Sorry for anyone who likes the Patriots. But I was so, like, I thought they were going to win. Like, but you can never say that when your team's playing Tom Brady. Because
you can't say that when you're playing playoff Tom Brady.
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously the Dolphins have beaten Tom Brady. And so, I mean, if any team, if the Dolphins
can beat
Tom Brady.
That's America's real team right there. Yeah, back honestly, to back years of beating Brady.
Do you miss Jay Cutler?
Oh, he should have been president.
Jay Cutler for president.
Like, we don't talk about politics, but I'm sorry, Trump. Step down, because if Jay Cutler comes in, he was eating a freaking tomahawk steak in bed. That's America.
And his wife's a model.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, his wife's a model, tomahawk steak in bed, beat Tom
NFL
Brady.
NFL quarterback.
Beat Tom Brady all in the same day. I mean, that's a real winner's day. So, I mean.
Sick beard, too, when he grows it out.
Sick beard. Yeah. Oh, I know. You know who's got a grizzly beard? Is Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck has, like, a monster beard.
Yeah.
And it's kind of scary. You know what I have to say real quick? People... Oh,
Christ. Nah,
I can't.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, you guys have bared with us. You guys have been through us.
No, I'm finishing this. If anyone watched the Colts game... last week when they were talking about Captain Andrew Luck and they played the Heart of Dixie, I don't know. I got really nervous about that because, I mean, I didn't get nervous, but I mean, I read that people took offense to that.
All politics aside, because obviously we said we weren't, but I'm just speaking my mind here. Stop being a little wuss, America. Like, step your game
honestly,
up.
I didn't think anything about it.
I didn't think, no one did. Like, some people were saying, and... again, no politics, but I don't care anymore. Both parties, both sides of the scale, spectrum, sorry. No, everyone agreed there was no harm done. It's just like, it's as if it's like its own little group of people that just, they don't care if you're left, you're right. No matter what, if you offend, if you even make them blink or cringe, it offends them.
People go, okay, so for those of you who didn't see, there is a Twitter page called Captain Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck, for those of you who don't watch football, is the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. He, you know, they were given his stats and whatever, and how he can dodge tackles and blah, 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 blah. So they did a little, on ESPN during the game, they did this little kind of graphic where they put Captain Andrew Luck in a Civil War uniform, and he was guarded by Union and Confederate soldiers. So... I mean, and then they played Heart of Dixie, and people got offended.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. And then almost like that just kind of goes to show... You have to be careful about what you say, because... And I say that because, like, you don't know who or what is going to offend people or who you're going to offend. And that is just, like, that's the scary part about doing a podcast.
I'm a strong pineapple on pizza supporter. I feel like Amen. You should try it once.
Yes.
And hear me out. Look.
It will change your life.
It's...
This is one Raph's pizza.
Yeah, I know. For real. Come on, man.
Bro.
Hey. Sports? Nah, man. Nah. Hey, politics? Nah, man. Pineapple pizza? Let me tell you the truth about America, folks.
Tell you.
Raphael comes out here. But, look.
And it has to be pineapple and ham on a cheese pizza. It can't be pineapple and chicken. It can't
be... pineapple chicken doesn't blend.
It cannot be pineapple and chicken. It can be. It definitely can't be pineapple and sausage.
Now we'll say something. I tried a pineapple bacon pizza.
Okay, that. Well, it has.
But it has ham on it too.
Well, I mean,
yeah, Hawaiian.
But I mean, pineapple.
Now, do you see Hawaiians getting offended?
No.
You know what? Instead, they suck it up and continue to support that greatness.
And
that
they eat it. So, I mean, listen, everybody. If there's
whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not.
We don't care. But what? Sit down.
Preach.
Listen to our podcast. Flick the pineapple off. Give it to me.
You know?
And guess what? We can have a slice. We can sit down. We can talk about Alabama losing and being a disappointment to their own, you know, area. Whatever. Yeah. We can talk about how Tom Brady is that OP kid in gym class that no one liked, but everyone picked first on their team.
Definitely.
And we can talk about, you know, sports.
Growing in the community of Greenville and how it has a positive effect on everyone here.
Yeah.
And how this podcast has been running for 45 minutes and now 52 seconds. Like, we can talk
about
that.
Yeah, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to save the remaining bit of coffee for the next pot. And we'll brew it up. We'll sit down. We'll come back next week. And we'll drink some fresh coffee, guys. Thank you guys for putting up with us. You guys mean the world to us. Not to be all blah. But, you know, hopefully we don't offend you. And you can come back and be a fan and tell us how bad we suck, how bad you love us, whatever. We love you guys, and we're going to be here for you guys.
But before we sign off real quick, we just kind of wanted to say that we will continue to be consistent with our episodes. And we, like, starting today, like, we promise we will be putting out a weekly episode, like, starting today. Like, starting with today, whether we record again this Thursday or, you know, next Sunday, we will be putting out weekly episodes, and we are more excited than ever to kick off 2019 with Game Day Greenville, the podcast. We love you guys. Thank you so much.
So stay tuned for next one.